Mike Schaefer.
There's a part of me that really thinks that there's a Sasquatch.
Mike Schaefer.
I think the issues here are largely football related.
Mike Schaefer.
People are like, oh, the Vikings are terrible. And it's like, yeah, terrible teams always go 13-4.
Mike Schaefer.
I don't feel good for anybody. All my entire life is rooting for sports teams that get as tantalizingly close as possible and then don't win.
Mike Schaefer.
I have no joy in my heart for you or you or you.
Mike Schaefer.
Well, right now he's got joy, joy, joy in his heart, heart, heart.
Oh?
Well, Cleveland's winning right now.
Oh, baseball!
And hopefully Kenley Jansen comes into the game so we can whine about the baseballs not being properly rubbed up.
Nice.
Hello, Schaefer.
How are we doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I am good. I'm good. I'm busy, but I'm good.
Awesome. Well, earlier last week, as a matter of fact, here on this Grum, it was just in a random conversation. We put up a poll question saying that if you could sign on the dotted line for a 7-5 season, would you sign it? And you were one of the people to respond vocally, or vocally on Twitter, saying no. The program expectations, it should be higher. It should be a higher bar. Give yourself a chance to explain. I'm curious your thoughts.
Yeah, I wouldn't sign for 7-5 because I think Nebraska has the ability to be better than that. I mean, we went through this on the Husker 24/7 podcast yesterday a little bit, and I think that you guys would sort of come into the same thought. But if you divorce quarterback, Nebraska's an old team. Nebraska's an experienced team. Nebraska has playmakers coming back on the defensive side of the ball. They have a, I think, much improved wide receiver group that I think has the ability to kind of be what the defensive line was for Nebraska last year, where they can maybe step in and immediately be good. Where that defensive line, you know, there was a lot of apprehension as to what they were going to be. And then quickly by the third week of the season, it's like, oh yeah, they're good. I think that's what the wide receivers can be. And so if you think about it in the sense that if you had to build a team where you have a freshman quarterback who's never played before at this level, it's not the worst thing in the world that you have a veteran offensive line, that you have some veteran pass catchers, that you have some explosive playmakers. If they had a running back, like a legitimate, honest to goodness, you can give this guy the ball 18 to 25 times a game and let him churn and burn against other teams, I think people would feel fantastic about it. Now they don't, but they have some options that they like, and we'll see what they are. But I think just on the offensive side of the ball alone, it's set up very well, and they have a 5-star quarterback. And so you have that. And then you have an entire defensive group returning for the most part outside of a few important but potentially replaceable pieces. You have that aforementioned defensive line. You just have all of these things. I mean, special teams, I think you could be fair to quibble about. But I don't think it is unfair that if given the proposition 7-5 and only 7-5, or mystery box, that with the way that they are set up, you can choose mystery box and feel like 8-4, 9-3, or God forbid, 10-2 is out there for this team.
I thought, Schaefer, I was listening to that pod this morning when you, I think you asked Brunts about it, the idea of this veteran team, but with a freshman quarterback. It's not something that I had thought about in the way that you put it, but I thought that it was I really thought it was a good breakdown and kind of changed again how I am viewing things. And if you missed it, Schaefer said, imagine this is any other program. And you're like, wow, look at all those veteran pieces they have. And they have this freshman quarterback that is very highly thought of. If there was not the baggage that this program had, you'd be like, yep, I like this team to maybe do something this season. But given that we're all on the ground here and we know all the baggage, it's a little bit harder for us to do that.
And it's hard for me, too, because I don't want to be the latest person to stand here, or just, I guess I'm sitting, really, to sit here and talk about Nebraska in glowing terms when they haven't won a damn thing. Like, I hate being that person. I hate acknowledging that I'm that person. But I look at this roster, and and BC brought this up, too. This coaching staff, particularly a Ted Mann, that second-year magic, it's there. They like this team a lot. I think you hear that in how they talk about them this spring. I just, and again, I don't want to be the guy that's, you know, trumpeting things before it's happened. And certainly not at a place where, you know, you give a mouse a cookie, certainly with the Nebraska fan base a little bit. But I just, it's hard for me to look at this team and not be enthusiastic about what the fall can be, you know. And yeah, they got to go out and they got to beat other teams and they have to prove that they can do it on the field. But man, on paper, it looks good. And I guess at this point of the year, on April, I guess it was 17th yesterday where we had the conversation, 18th, I'll reiterate it. Feel good about Nebraska. And I guess I don't need to hide it anymore. I don't need to hide my light under a bushel.
There you go.
I can let my light shine.
What do you
I'm going to let it shine.
Positive Mike Schaefer. People always say that you're too positive, Mike. Kenneth writes.
People say that all the time.
Kenneth writes, is the O-line fixed? No. Wouldn't expect much different. I continue to buy into the offensive line. I thought that they were solid.
What is fixed in this scenario?
See, and that's the thing. Were they not solid last year? Am I missing something? I don't think that they were.
They were fine. Yeah.
They were in a tire fire.
No, they weren't. They were definitely not the weakness of the team. That's
no.
For sure.
So why can't they get better? Especially with the center back and other pieces back and then some young players.
And I mean, you're potentially adding a fifth year offensive line in Micah Mazuka.
Yep.
Between Ben Scott and Bryce Benhart, who I think it was BC pointed out on that same podcast, Benhart's going to set the record for most
amazing
starts ever for a Nebraska player, which is weird.
Yeah.
Very. Damn it, COVID.
You know, and if there's an area where I understand some apprehension, it's probably with Teddy Prochazka at that left tackle spot. But he is now entering his fourth year of the program. This is a guy that, you know, for half of a game against Aiden Hutchinson was, you know, Detroit Lions fans listen in here, Aiden Hutchinson. Was fantastic before that injury. If he can get there mentally, and you hear the guys talk about him, physically he's really kind of put himself in really good shape over the offseason. He's having a spring ball for the first time really in his career. I think there's a reason to think the offensive line can be better than what it was last year. And last year, you know, you could say serviceable, you can say solid, you could say good. I think any of those could be true.
So if they only get to 7, would that be seen as a disappointment or underwhelming?
I think it'd be seen as meeting the bare minimum. Okay. I think 6-6 is a disappointment.
Yeah.
I think 7-5 is the bare minimum for me for it to be considered a successful year, I guess, if you will, or doing what you were supposed to do, I guess would be the better way of phrasing it.
Sure.
But I felt that, you know, I think I said that at the end of last year. Like they should have been a 6-6 team. They should have been a 7-5 team. They gave away last year, and that's why I don't think the bar needs to be bowl eligibility. I think they could be better than that. I think they can announce themselves as a team, as a program that has returned from their 7-year walkabout. And I think they could do that right away in 2024. I've wrestled with it because you don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse. But at the same time, if you eliminate the name Nebraska, and this was the argument I made yesterday, if you just eliminate that name and I just tell you all of these things about their team, you're going to expect that they're pretty good. And I don't think the schedule is that difficult. I don't think division and who they play and whatever else, like, yeah, there's going to be some losses on there, sure, but they should win games. They have talent. We don't have to do the talent conversation. We can throw that one out. We never really had to do the talent conversation. I think we did in lieu of having the coach is terrible conversation. But, yeah, talent isn't going to be a problem. Now, Matt Rhule has to prove he can coach on Saturdays. I think that has to be a true thing, too. And we didn't get enough of that last year. But overall, I mean, I don't want to say this is as good as I felt about Nebraska in a while, but I feel pretty good about Nebraska.
Yeah, you know, Shave, as you're talking, I kind of was thinking back to last year, and one of the things that stands out to me is, given what you said about they should have been a 6-win team, they should have been a 7-1 team, they gave away games. I mean, I would say actively gave away the Minnesota game, the Maryland game, the Wisconsin game, and probably the Iowa game. So we're talking about, you know, so they won one game that was by one score, and that was the Northwestern game, and they closed it out. It wasn't pretty, but they were able to close it out. The thing that I'm wondering about this year is, can they have fewer games that are even close? Like, just can they win some games comfortably? You know, they won Northern Illinois and Louisiana Tech by, 24 and 14 points respectively. Those games, they felt icky pretty much the entire time. They never were that comfortable. Like, can they have more games where they just feel comfortable and fewer games that comes down to the end, just where maybe they're not going to have to rely on making a mistake or not making a mistake to get a victory?
And we'll see what type of team they are if they can do that. I mean, I think part of that is going to be, are they well-oiled enough that they've eliminated the turnovers that allowed teams to stay in games or allowed teams to thrive late in games? Do they have better situational awareness? Does Marcus Satterfield, now in his second year as a play caller and his second go-around in the Big Ten, have a better feel for how he wants to call things with a quarterback that's maybe more in line with what he wants to do than where they were at with Heinrich Harburg and Chubba Purdy and Jeff Sims last year? You know, so there's a lot of things to still be answered in that regard. But, yeah, I think that would be the step forward for this team. Go win some of these games and not have to do, you know, not have to sort of wallow through the second half against Illinois. You just go and put Illinois away, you know, like you don't have the four turnovers or whatever it is that allows a team to stick around. And you go play these games and you play crisp football. I think that's what Matt Rhule wants, because I think he thinks the wins are going to follow. I think he believes that they have the ability to go play solid football and make life difficult for someone else instead of making life difficult for themselves, which, as we know too often, is what Nebraska football has been all about for the last decade.
From your original answer, I mean, running back's probably the position group that most of us believe right now has the biggest question marks. It's the weakest link at the moment.
Could I argue one other thing?
Go ahead, because my question was going to be, if it's not running back, what?
Okay. So running back, we absolutely don't know who it's going to be, and we don't know how effective they're going to be, and we don't know if it's going to be a committee or if it's going to be one guy or if there's anyone that you could ultimately trust at any point in time. But you still believe they're going to have a baseline of production that at its worst is probably slightly below average, at its best is slightly above average. Mm-hmm. So I think it's fair to assume that they could have average running back play. What we don't have any clue about is field goal kicking and punting. I think that has reverted back into being a question mark for me. Brian Buccini was incredibly erratic last year as Nebraska's punter. Tristan Alvano, equally erratic in his field goal attempts. He gets a second year. I think that is as big as anything that never gets discussed throughout spring, because you don't talk a lot about kicking at this time of year. And then I think Brian Buccini, if he is healthy, if you can get the good version of him, makes Nebraska's defense that much more effective. I think that is an area, along with running back, where I have real questions. I don't worry about the return game and the coverage units as much. I worry about the individual pieces at punter and kicker, and more than you really should with a guy like Buccini, who's now in his third year with the program. But Alvano, you have a lot of talent there. Can it be harnessed into an effective manner? And can he be consistent? I mean, if they get consistency out of their kicking game, both of those, it's going to really help that team overall.
Shafe, one of the things that you guys talked about also on the pod was what could happen next with the portal. Obviously, we know that that's been open since Monday. It will close within a couple of weeks. It certainly seems like they're not really going to address a whole lot. How big of a surprise is that? Maybe not overall with the team, but more the quarterback room, that it seems like that could remain where it is right now. Because that surprises me, given where I thought it was, you know, 2 months ago.
It shouldn't really, though, because Matt Rhule has kind of been plain about how they didn't think they were going to go get someone out of the portal to go play quarterback for him. I mean, I think they've kind of kept saying all along, like, these are our guys. This is what we have. If something happens and it works out, great, but we're not really on the search for it. And I think that's sort of where they're at. And I think he said it enough times that I just kind of accepted it. And now that the portal has opened and you see the conversations where people are like, okay, can they go get their backup quarterback here? I just don't think that's going to happen. I think Heinrich Harburg's their backup quarterback, and I think Daniel Kalen's the in-emergency guy. And I think they feel better about it over there than, you know, we probably do in the media or the fan base might in general. But I think that's just sort of where things sit.
Jackson Carpenter committing earlier last week. It gives Nebraska five commits, four of them in state, the other one's from Kansas, so they're all within, you know, the 500-mile radius. What have you made of so far of the activity, and how much does it ramp up as we end spring football and move into May?
I think we're hitting the period of time where it's really going to pick up. I looked at it last year. They had their fifth commitment after the spring game right around the 20th of the month of April. Today's April 18. They have their five commitments. I would anticipate the months of I think they'll get a commitment or two probably coming out of their red-white game. where they have a solid visit list of guys coming in. I think they'll get a commitment or two in the month of May, and then I think you're looking at 8 or 9 commitments going into June, and I think that's where they're just going to make their living. And I think that's just – I think this is maybe the model of what it looks like for them. It's slow early, and then it picks up when it's supposed to pick up. Now, if they could get to the point where you get some of your top guys to commit to you as juniors – you know, during these junior days, and you come into the month of April and May and you have 10 commitments already, I think that's where you'd ideally like to be. But they also love camp season, and they're going to want to keep spots open for guys who impress in that regard too. So I think the hard thing right now is determining what the overall number is going to be in this class. And I just don't know that I have a great sense. You know, the last couple of years, they've taken like 80 some scholarship guys. I don't, you know, in theory, they should really only be able to take 15 guys. They'll take more than that. But I don't know what that number is going to be. And I don't have a great feel for that at this time.
Mike Schaefer, Husker247.com, Husker247 Sports. I wanted to say,
what's up with the baseball? Oh,
good news, Schaefer. Your boys just
won. Over?
It's over.
Oh, there it is. I'm behind. My feed's behind.
Your feed's just a little
threw
behind.
That middle, and it did not get hit.
Hey, Schaefer, before we let you go, you had the issue last year with getting blacked out. It thought you were
in Cleveland.
So we have that issue here in the studio. How long of a process was it to get it fixed?
So if you follow, I'll check the account, but I think it's just MLB TV on Twitter. Okay. If you follow them on Twitter and you tell them, hey, I'm getting blacked out of a region I shouldn't be blacked out, you send them your IP address, they can get that fixed within 10 minutes.
Oh.
It took me forever. I think the first couple times I had this issue, I was on the phone for hours with MLB TV support, and she's going through a guidebook that she's given to help troubleshoot. It was terrible. I felt really bad.
But if you just tweet at them.
Yeah. And then it turns out if you just tweet at them or if you just DM them, and you maybe I was a known on the list as an issue and they were able to just go in and fix it. But if you give them the IP address, they can reset everything. And that allows where are you guys blacked out right now?
In the studio. The TV thinks it's in Iowa. All the teams that are blacked out in Iowa are blacked out on this TV.
Yeah, that's not good. Mine was for whatever reason, I thought I was in Cleveland. So every Cleveland game was blacked out.
Which is why you want MLB TV.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, maybe my
exact
team.
Opposite of what I wanted. Exactly. Like, if I couldn't watch any Mariners games, it would annoy me, but I could have lived with it, and I wouldn't have been as complaining about it. But no, it was the literal team that I was trying to
watch. Yeah, so John can't watch the Cubs on this TV, but he can watch it on his phone in the studio.
Yeah, it works on the phone.
Yeah. Yep. So it's a disaster.
I could watch on my phone in my house at times, but not on my television. Mm. I could watch on an iPad. I could walk down the street to the corner and get the game when I wasn't on our Wi-Fi. So it thought our Wi-Fi was in Cleveland.
All right, so this doesn't sound that bad. Maybe we can fix this.
Maybe, but there's other issues at play here as well. But it's good advice, and thank you very much for said advice.
Okay.
Well, I hope the best for you, because that has to be the one worst state to be in at all times.
Oh,
the worst state for blackouts imaginable with baseball.
If you're a baseball fan and you live in Iowa, that's a
bummer. Both Chicago teams, both Missouri teams. The Twins.
Oh, my God.
Brewers.
And I think the Brewers, yeah. Yikes. Six teams.
That's a lot of teams.
Six teams. And the crazy thing is, like, if you live in Council Bluffs, you can't get Marquee Sports, which is the Cubs network. You can't get NBC Sports Chicago.
That is ridiculous.
You know, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
No sense. All right.
Ban Iowa. That's the only thing we can do.
Good take.
Mike Schaefer. Schaefer, take
My
care. Thank you.
There. Bye, Schaefer.
Sorry for your parents, Nick. See you guys.
And my little brother also lives in Iowa.
Little brother.
You want to ban a 10-year-old, 11-year-old?
He just said ban Iowa.
Yeah, just get rid of the state.
But where will the people in the state
go? Nebraska. It's just big Nebraska now.
Ew.
Big Nebraska.
Ew.
Sorry, Nick. Those are the rules.
We'll call it.
Think of the advantages. The football team would get better.
Would they?
Yeah.
Well, we'd just let Iowa play.
No. Oh, you said the Nebraska football team would get
better. Yeah, it'd be the Nebraska-Iowa football team.
Gotcha.
So are we done now with baseball,
by the way? It's like the Steagles.
Why?
No, I'm asking. I meant that in a sad way.
There's some baseball happening, I think.
But are we going to be able to watch it?
I don't know.
All right, we'll find out, I guess.
I mean, there's not that many games today, so probably.
Shave tweets in JTech Construction's on the Twitter feed. Should we start a GoFundMe to save Nick's family from living in Iowa?
How?
Excellent question from our dear friend Mike Schaefer. Excellent question.
Yeah, there's no baseball until tonight. The Cubs play the Marlins, but it's not until 6:30.
Awesome. No more day sports. Oh, wait, there's probably golf on, but nobody plays in golf anymore either. They're all overseas or wherever they're playing.
Well, they get paid.
You don't want to watch Live?
No. It's probably not even on right now, Nick.
You don't want to Live, Laugh, Golf?
Nah, not at all.
Well, we'll see if there's anything on ESPN Plus. Maybe there's some college baseball.
College baseball. Actually, I can tell you if there's college baseball.
Well, you do that while I tell the good folks that registered donors can someday save up to 8 lives through organ donation and help hundreds of others through tissue donation. Visit goodguyssavelives.com and find out more about the generous gift of organ and tissue donation. Of course, we've always had the option to check off that box when we renew our license, driving, hunting, fishing. But if you are not up for a renewal anytime soon, but you still would like the life-saving gift of organ donation or the life-changing gift of tissue donation, please visit goodguyssavelives.com. No age restrictions. Even if you have a medical condition, you can still register to be a donor. It is free, never a cost to you or your family, and traditional funeral practices are possible following a donation. So find out more about the gift of life-saving organ and tissue donation. Save up to 8 lives at goodguyssavelives.com. That's goodguyssavelives.com.